It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss cost. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. Ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life, BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend to tell a friend and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life, BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to another edition of the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? Listen, we're starting a little bit later, but it's a lot of things happening, going down. So we're just trying to make sure we prepare. But before we get into that, how you doing today, babe?
I'm doing. I'm up in here.
You're doing?
We're here.
Well, I just feel like today just been one of those days. So, before we get started, make sure you like, share, subscribe to the podcast. You have no clue what type of support that does for us. These are things that people can do that's free, that helps promote the brand, promote the podcast. Definitely subscribe to us on YouTube as we try to grow that channel and expand upon our social media platforms so we can start giving you better content and leveraging those things. Also, wherever you listen to your podcast, go find the Boss Fest Podcast in Spotify, Apple Music, anything like that. Subscribe it, hit the notification so that way when we drop new content, you'll be one of the first to hear it and follow along with your boss fam. So, today's topic or conversation is, they not like us, but I don't, listen, it's just, it's a lot of things happening in our community right now. It's just, I don't know. We'll see where we go. But why did we bring this topic aboard, babe?
Why did we bring this topic aboard, or why did I bring this topic aboard? Like, I'm trying not to be shady. This last episode that we did, I think y'all didn't even get to catch the episode because I walked out. He be feeling some type of way, and then, you know, feelings get heated up in here. So I'm going to try not to be shady today. But why I felt like this was a good, like, topic for us in the podcast is because, like, I talk about David Shands a lot being, like, the business coach. And he talks about business and moves, right? And it's like, separate yourself from the competition. And I was at a birthday party, maybe it was like 2 weeks ago or so. And they were talking about, you know, podcasts in the Polk County area. And it was like, you know, okay, somebody thinks they're the best podcast. And I was like, that's fine, because they not like us. And that's, you know, right after the Super Bowl, and everybody now is like, they not like us. But I say that to say, Boss Fest is not just a podcast, it's an entrepreneur network. And sometimes you have to flex the things that you're doing in business, because, like, you could be the best podcast and everyone should believe that they're the best at what they do. But sometimes you have to say, like, look, like, we host an entrepreneur conference. We do this Boss Fest podcast talking about the entrepreneurial experience, because that's really what it is. between the networking event, going into the coaching, helping people do business setup. You've written the grants. Like, what we are is an entrepreneur network. We're not a podcast. So to say that, it's very clear to say they're not like us.
So is it fair to say, based off all that, what you're saying, is it more or less to say that we are an entrepreneur network that does podcasting, or a podcast that does entrepreneur network?
I mean, I would say that we're an entrepreneur network that does podcasting, if you're making me stay in that box, because it seems like you're confining me to what that looks like. What I'm saying, though, is when you're part of, like, when you enter the Boss Fest Entrepreneur Network, like, when you enter our network, you get entrepreneurial experience on so many levels, right? Like, you could get the conference, which is straight just business information. If you haven't experienced a business conference, that's what we give you in today's version of what, like, a business owner would look like. You don't have to come dressed at, like, in a suit, and, you know, it's just our experience, and we're delivering that to you. When you watch the podcast, you're getting our version of, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, like how we see it, what's happening. We give you the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, like all of it is on the table. And then if you happen to, you know, be one of those people that catch us where we're doing a webinar or we're actually setting up your business, then you get the hardcore business experience of what that looks like.
Okay. So with those things being stated, I feel that we have to set ourselves apart then. So if there was a statement or a sentiment placed out there saying, hey, who's the best or not the best, then how do we put ourselves in a position where we exemplify greatness in our space? Because to me, there is no competition. There is no reason to compete if we all are shooting for the same goals of success and entrepreneurship and a better development. Then any and everybody can eat. But we need to exemplify ourselves in a way so that way there is no misunderstanding about what it is we do and how we do it.
No, 100%. So let me clarify, I guess, something that you said. I don't think there's any competition. Again, I feel like everybody should think that they are the best at whatever it is they do. So I 100% am collaboration over competition. So I don't even want to, like, I guess, someone to get what you just said misconstrued. But yes, in any business, you need to set yourself apart. And that's what we're working on now with, you know, like our courses, a website, and just really bringing it all together. So that's what 2025 is for us, is bringing it all together. But I felt like They Not Like Us had so many meanings on, like, so many different levels. And for me, that was the business aspect of it. But I mean, you can talk about individuals, and then, like, a lot of our podcasts lately have been, you know, for the culture. And when you just think about the statement, you know, not going into the song, but just the statement itself, They Not Like Us, it's really just embracing individuality and saying, like, you can try to copy what this is, but you'll never be what it is.
Maybe, just maybe, let's look at this from a different angle. I believe the lane that we have chosen to be in, it cross mingles in different spaces, right? So as an entrepreneur podcast that's designed to help educate, expand, teach, train, all of those things, we understand that that topic isn't always as spicy as the most current trends, the hottest gossip, the latest news, politics, and things of that nature. So our content isn't for everybody, but we have something that's designed to improve the lives of everybody who wants it.
I mean, maybe you think, you know, like, business struggles isn't spicy, but it feels pretty spicy to me.
Definitely feels spicy to me when we are investing in brands and things of that nature, putting your, you know, you're putting that energy out there and you just want to see a return in that investment. So it definitely has its pros and its cons.
I mean, I think the business world is as spicy as anything else, like with relationships and the ups and downs, who wants to network, the clickiness, the clicks of it all.
The clickish.
Whatever.
We'll give you something.
Just helping out.
But I think it is as spicy as you can make any other thing. Like, if someone was filming us, I feel like we could compete with Atlanta Housewives. Like, for me, sometimes it's a lot of drama behind the business. And sometimes a lot of people feel threatened when they see you move. And social media is a tricky place, right? Like, if you posting things on social media, like, you like to post, oh, making another trip, eyes on it. What do you say? Like, this don't even need no words, whatever it is you be saying. And it's like, okay,
nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here is what you say. So posting those things and giving no context behind it, people start to think, okay, there's different moves, and people start to feel a certain type of way, especially if they feel like you're a certain place and maybe they're not, or they deserve to be that place. And it's like, for 2025, when we're talking about collaboration, let's collaborate, because everybody can be where you are. And we feel like there's so much more we have to get to. But back to your point, I feel like business can be very spicy.
So I know in 2023, we had the phrase collaboration over competition, right? And while I agree that we can all collaborate, I'm starting to take a different approach to who I'm choosing to collaborate with, right?
Okay, let's talk about it.
I think sometimes, you know, we enter in certain spaces and we think it is advantageous and that we're going to advance ourselves in some way.
Big word alert. Go ahead.
Big word alert. Advantageous. And I said it correctly twice. Don't have me do it a third time. But I believe we think that when we step in those spaces, it's going to produce a winning result every time. And sometimes certain situations are designed to teach us and train us to let us know, hey, man, this isn't the path we need to go down again, or something we need to revisit. A lot of times I'm finding myself wondering about different conversations and pieces like that. If we attend your event and we invest in ourselves in that event, it's because we believe in either one, the event, or the person. Before, I think we used to just say, hey, let's do certain events just to get our face out there.
Okay, I was wondering where you was going with that. Okay.
So I know as I move in 2025, I don't want to keep saying that phrase, but as we move in this new era, I'm going to be more selective of who I collab with. I've got a couple of DMs the other day saying, hey, can you attend this event? Can you do this? Can you do that? Before, I would be like, oh my God, let me jump on that. Now, hold on. What's the purpose of this? Do I even have a value to be in here? There's been several times I'll go to some place set up just because I said, yes, I'll do it. Then when I get there and I realize, man, this has no benefit for me, my business, my brand. Matter of fact, this was a complete waste of time. I lost money because I couldn't invest in either me, my family, or my brand because I sat myself down in the wrong space thinking that this was going to be advantageous. And it turns out to be this.
So, I mean, I cannot fully agree with what you're saying. I feel like some of the events that I go to, regardless if it's not going to make me money, sometimes the support is needed. And I remember when we did our first Boss Fest and we were just thinking like, hey, we're getting a community of people together. It's going to be a whole bunch of businesses showcasing. No one knew who we were. No one knew what it was. But at that time, for us to get to where we are now, the support was needed. So I'm not always going to say like, hey, I'm not going to go to, you know, the event because I'm not going to get anything out of it. Sometimes just to say, you know, sis, bro, I see you, you know, you need that. Sometimes it's the encouragement and you don't know. Like, I'll tell people, just start. You know what I mean? Like, it may not be the right thing. It may not be where you end up, but just start. And I want to support the start. So I'm not going to say like, oh, I'm not going to show up to certain things. Because if I can be in the space, then I would like to be in a space. And sometimes it's nothing other than just to support. That's how I see it.
So let me clarify some things. So to me, it's a difference between showing up to support and putting my brand in a place where it has no business.
Well, you said people are DMing you to come to the event. So are you saying, set up your brand?
Right. There are people that want the Boss Fest podcast.
They want us to work.
They want us to work their event, right? And I have no problem with working events, being that steward.
Y'all inbox me. Y'all just DM me. Don't even DM him. Like, just DM me because I'm ready to work.
You say that, but it requires me to do it. So if I don't want to do it, then we just doesn't happen. It don't happen, right? But
I don't know now.
I hear what you're trying to say, but not really.
Okay. But the whole point is, for me, I'm not too far removed from the hustle of it all. Do you, you have to give your gift away sometimes for free, right? And I do know you have to be selective with what you, how you do that, right?
Okay.
So I think when those opportunities come, it takes for us to examine them and see, is every opportunity the best opportunity for our brand? Probably not. Is every relationship the best relationship for our brand? No. But we've learned those things the hard way, right? And separation is key. Like, once you realize, like, that is not the right space for me, this isn't the right energy, is separation. But I just think it all comes from trial and error. So we examine what it looks like.
I hear that. And as I'm processing all that information, I just kind of find myself in a different place now as I navigate through these challenges. What I want to do is I want to start to exemplify myself in a different way. And I know I've had to learn and grow from past interactions, right? As we grow the brand, as we grow the business, as we grow relationships, as we grow our partnership, it all had to be like a foundation of stuff that we had to go over to get to this point. And I just think of the many different trials and errors that we went through. And I just like, man, the place I see us going, it's going to shock a lot of people. And some people that was with us yesterday are not going to be with us today. And even some people that's with us today may not be with us tomorrow. But if they're moving to promote their business and their brand in the right way, we got nothing but love and support in that endeavor. So,
I mean, that's just a given with life. That's with anything, right? As you grow and you learn, people separate. It's a necessary evolvement. So, I mean, that just is what it is. But if you're talking about, you know, like, they aren't like us, I think what we saw, and I'm just using the years to separate the time, in 2024, we saw a true separation. And I'll say for me, like, I saw you start coming into your own as like a podcaster and a person who shares their ideas. And I'll say it specifically to the podcast, like, podcasts talk to certain people, like, you have certain audiences. Our audience isn't everybody, right? Our audience is people that are entrepreneurs who understand the ups and downs. People who are in collaboration, starting businesses, maybe working a 9-to-5, got a side hustle, trying to make it, you know, their main hustle. Nonetheless, like, that is the audience that is going to understand the trials and tribulations that we talk about, the ups and downs. So our audience is now understanding who we are, as well as us understand who they are. We are not like every other podcast.
Makes sense. Ooh. I want to go personal here. I'm probably going to get us in trouble. Hopefully,
yourself in trouble.
Hopefully we don't walk off the podcast again this day. It's actually being recorded live. When she walked off the other day, it was pre-recorded and it was all bad. But listen, right now in our community, there's something going on. Only reason why I pivot to that direction.
Yeah, because that had nothing to do with anything. It's like you just wanted to say it.
Why is you so bothered by it?
I didn't say I was bothered. I'm not bothered by it. It just, there was no transition at all.
There, like, was a transition. I said, here's my transition. And I stopped the conversation and I transitioned. But there we go. So this is the process of us being not like other people. I'm looking at this situation. So for those who don't know.
That's a transition.
There was a situation that went down in our community in Polk County where police officers were called to a scene where guns were drawn, and a woman and her child in the video were, you know, placed and detained. What makes this situation so crazy is that you look at the age of the baby that was in this video, right? And I want to say this child couldn't be no more than, what, 2, maybe 3 years old?
The kid was 3, I heard.
3 years old, and to see this child with their hands behind their back while police officers have gun drawns down on them is a true example to me of they not like us, because in that situation, the only thing I could think about was, man, that could be my wife and my child on the ground, or I could be that person with a with my child on the ground enduring some of those same things. And I know as I read some of the comments in the community, people having different opinions about what they think the situation was, what it's about. And I can see a consensus from the Black community saying, no, this ain't right. But I'm seeing a different energy coming from the white community and the Hispanic community. And if anybody knows anything about Polk County, it's about 60% white, about 18% Hispanic, 14% Black. So, and it's one of those very conservative counties, right? They love their police officers. They love their law enforcement. Sheriff Grady Judd is one of those people in here who is one of those defiant police officers who's very law. But it was examples like this to show me, man, everybody's not for us. Everybody's not like us. And we can't keep bringing everybody to our table, because when situations like this happen and you expect these people that talk like you in your face.
Oh, no. Oh.
That talk like you in your face.
Okay.
But then they give you that different energy as on social media. And it's like, come on now. Like, what
are they giving you different energy just on social media? Because I think this maybe goes back to like one of our episodes. I mean, maybe a few episodes, to be quite honest, where you talk about people who play in the culture. They don't really believe or feel what we feel, or like the things that we have to go through. And I guess I'll preface it when seeing the video, regardless of what got them to that situation. Will that little girl grow up and feel like, you know, I can trust a police officer, or if I'm in danger, that's who I call? Does that traumatic experience stay with them? And I know there was some event that we were at, I won't call it out, but people were saying, you know, like, hey, you know, I've never had a bad instance with a police officer. And I think I spoke up and I said something, but people's idea of things are based on their personal experience. And when you say like they are not like us, it's our personal experiences that get us to this place. And that's a personal experience that will live with that mother and that daughter for forever. And it shapes what your belief is. So we want to change what the Black community believes police officers should be. We have to change that with every interaction. The reason why we feel a certain type of way is because these things keep happening to us. And it's really cool and amazing, you know, if people are like, you know, hey, on the song and dog, I feel you, like you're saying, people like in your face and they act in a certain type of way. But when it's time to stand up, when we all are fighting for something that we believe in, when it's time to really count and matter, where are you?
I just recall the situation with you and our daughter at that age, right? So our daughter now is in college and living the best life that she can live, by an amazing set of parents that tried to make sure they gave for everything.
I am amazing. Thank you for the shout out.
But I remember the same Winter Haven PD where a situation happened where you got pulled over in my parents' driveway. You was already out of the vehicle, unbuckling my young child.
You ain't telling this story right, because you wasn't there.
Go ahead. Tell the story.
So what happened was, on Old Lucerne Park Road, right? That's the road.
That's Old Lucerne.
I'm gonna say it's Old Lucerne, and then you turn by the projects to Ware Avenue.
Okay.
All right. So we turn into your parents' house. I'm not good with street, but I'm hoping that the people
LCP. So she turned by LCP.
Right. So like people on Spotify will never know what we're talking about, right. But we're going from a speed limit change. So that's what's important in this. Like the main road may be 40, 45. And then when I turn, it goes down to like a 25 speed limit. Right. I don't know who does the 25, but either way I turned, and your parents' house is like you turn, maybe you drive for 2 minutes and then I pull into the driveway. So I did that. I pulled into the driveway and then the police officer behind me put his lights on. So this is dropping my kids off to the home daycare, which is also my in-law's home. My daughter at the time was 6, so she knows the routine. We pull in the driveway, you unbuckle yourself, you get out, you go to the house. Grandpa and granny are waiting inside. So she did exactly what she was used to doing. At that time, I had an infant in a car seat, which was our son. So he was still in the car with me. My daughter gets out. She goes into the garage to open the door. but my father-in-law hears the siren. So at the same time, she's trying to get in the door. He's opening the door from the inside. He hits her in the face with the doorknob because that's about the height that she is. So she's now screaming, crying. And as a mother, the only thing I think is, let me get out of the car to console my kid. That's when the police officer gets out, draws his gun, and tells me I need to get back in the car. So now my daughter's screaming, my father-in-law's yelling, I'm boohoo crying and hysterical because I don't know what to do in this scenario. And then I have an infant in the back seat. So he makes me get back in the car, put my hands out the window. He still has this gun pulled, but my father-in-law is screaming at him, like telling him, you don't need to do that. Like you've now taken it too far. So that specific situation plays out. And I guess to time track this, you know, because I'll say that was very traumatic, but I had to, like, after it was over, wash my face, get myself together, and still had to go to work that day, right? Because I feel like a lot of times we have to be stronger than what we really are. And I felt like in that moment, like, I had to play stronger, even though I felt like I wanted to break down. But my father-in-law wrote a letter or an article. Back then we had the news chief. And he wrote an article. Winter Haven Police Department did do an investigation that they called me on. They were able to tell me they saw some video from the event, and that police officer at that time, I don't know where he is now, but they did tell me they let him go. Like, he was fired from.
So, wow, that situation could have led to something tragic, the same way this situation that's currently playing out could have led to something tragic. All because of how we choose to police certain bodies or certain figures, right? We already know that the law, the justice system has a disdain for black bodies, right? And, you know, I used to say black and brown bodies, but I'm going to say black bodies. But sometimes them brown bodies can get away with some unruly shit. And if they play their cards right, they can pretend to be white bodies, right? It just depends on the narrative. But okay. I can't never take this off. And it's always a threat, especially when you see the skin, you see the size, you hear the voice. It automatically triggers to make people think their actions are justified. And as I'm looking at some of the comments, and I'm looking at the ones that's coming from our community like, man, this is wrong. None of this was justified. Like, it's overkill. And our frustrations are being more displayed because we're tired of living in that space, right? For so long, we've had to endure it and just accept it. Oh, man, at least nobody died. No, man, that shouldn't be the conversation.
And that's exactly what I, like, when I saw it, my whole thought, and I even said this out loud, because I was watching a video on the phone with someone else, and I said, I'm happy to hear that she got to make it home. Because those situations don't always play out that way. There could end up being a memorial after this and, you know, us putting up pictures on social media talking about how she didn't have to die that way. And it's really sad that that's the conversation that we have in our communities because we've seen it so many times.
And I guess I'm ecstatic no one died. I'm pissed off that these are still common practices that happen in law enforcement. And they're going to do an investigation. They won't find anything wrong. And to the letter of the law, the officers did nothing wrong. But somewhere in this process, I feel like law enforcement gets to choose between protecting and serving and enforcing laws, especially when it comes to the black community.
Yeah, like, where is the level of compassion when it comes to us? And I know I felt that when I was in my situation, like, I'm a mother looking after a child. And why is there never a level of compassion when it comes to our people?
There's compassion until it makes them have to enforce laws. So the job is always to enforce laws. I know we get this narrative mixed up sometimes. And it's like we get lost in the protect and serve and the friendly community costs, but their job is to enforce laws, and that is it. And at any given time, they can enforce any laws that's on that book to their benefit, to their manipulation. The majority of law enforcement officers are good cops, so I do not want to put that narrative out there. I know some great law enforcement officers. I got friends that are in law enforcement, and I believe they go out there every day to serve the community. But I also know, because of certain stigmas and trainings and developments, there are certain things that when they happen, they are forced to react in a certain way. And it's unfortunate. And depending upon the area you live in, you might see those actions a little bit more aggressively. While in other communities, if there isn't that many black bodies or brown bodies around, there might be a little bit more empathy towards situations, even to the fact that the police can be damn near assaulted before they think their lives are truly in danger. So I guess I pivoted that because I'm like, man, I don't want to be in the face of those people that don't understand that. That's not like us. That's why I got my Black Lives Matter hoodie on. I put it in the closet. I tucked it away for a while because I was like, man, I was listening to all the naysay, like, man, we got to move beyond that. But you know what? We can't forget certain things, too. We're in a time of political climate and stuff like that where people are finna try to force their so-called perceptions of right and good upon us. And we know it's BS. But just remember, they are not like us. The challenges that they're going to face aren't going to be the challenges we face. If there's going to be a food shortage for them, it's going to be a food desert for us. Whatever it happens in this political climate, we as a black people, we're going to feel it way worse. And just understand that, hey.
I don't know if you say that, but I mean, if you go into the they not like us, it's not like we haven't been there before. Like, we don't understand what the struggle is. I think that black people, and I don't think you're giving us enough credit, like, we know how to survive in a hard time, in a struggle. Like, the black woman, and I'll just say, like, we are the cornerstone of the black family and the household. A lot of us have made it through, like, having nothing and watching that happen. I think that's when we know how to thrive. I don't think we have a lot to worry about. And I'm in the 92% and we straight chilling through this whole thing and just making it through. But I don't think it's where we have to say there needs to be, let's say, a lack of. I think that's when we go in our bag and we pull out our resources, because we're going to make sure we pull the community through. And I think that takes more of us reacting as a community and coming together. And if nothing else, I think the design is to break us. And when people try to break you, sometimes that brings you closer together. And I think this is the time. We should be moving together. We should be supporting the Black-owned businesses, the minority-owned businesses, supporting each other and moving as one. Because if they were trying to break us, we need to show them the opposite. So I don't think that we're going to come out of this worse for any reason. I think we come out of it better.
And I believe we all come out of this worse, depending upon how long this thing lasts. Everybody's going to be in a worse situation. When COVID happened, everybody felt the effects of COVID, but the white dollar didn't diminish to the point where it was back to the 1960s. COVID happened in our community, same way it happened everywhere globally. In the U.S., the black dollar went back down to where it was in the 1960s, household-wise and things of that nature. Like, our value dropped. We lost homes. We lost property. We lost so much because we didn't have a nest egg already nestled up. Listen, this is the time where we need to niche down, tighten up, and understand that this is when we pour into our community. Those people who are financial planners, y'all need to be the first ones on the book, educating and promoting and saying, hey, these are plays you need to do. Listen, niching down, working with the bare necessities, it's going to get tight here in a second. You already see these automakers and stuff already raising the price of cars that have already been produced and sitting on the lots already. Like, the tariffs just started yesterday. How is this car that was on the lot yesterday at $80,000, now it's $100,000 just because the day changed? These people trying to find their money, they are not going to be the ones who take the L, and they're going to keep trying to put their cost on to the American consumer. And since we as a black community, we do not have a nest egg, we do not have savings like that, per dollar amount as like white communities and things of that nature, because we're just now trying to break into generational wealth and things of that nature and trying to fix some of those curses and mistakes that happened to us as a community, as a people. We're going to feel that a lot more than any other race.
I mean, I just differ in that thought process.
I hope that what you're saying is correct. I just believe that it's going to get bad and we're going to feel the worst of it. I don't think we're disciplined as we used to be.
I don't know. I just wish like we could just call quits, like enough is enough. But it's the same stuff that keeps happening. I don't know why we always have to be the threat, but I mean, this is where we are.
So no threats. This situation is going down in our community. You know, we sympathize for the mother and the child. We know that these things will never really, this thing will live within that mother's spirit forever. While the child is too young to understand what's happening, the mother is going to carry the burden of that, and how she interacts with law enforcement from this point on is going to be taught to that child as they continue to move forward in life. We did the same thing with our child. Listen, in these situations, we do not win. The only thing we can try to do is minimize the loss. Once cuffs are out, once guns are out, there is no convincing. There's no talking. Don't say a word. Try to comply with the most basic instructions. Even when people like, man, did they comply? Listen, even when you comply, you can still be seen as not complying. We just heard on this video two different commands called out, and she had to ask for instructions. Which one do I do? But just later, cool. Like, even when you're complying, you can be seen as, it's just wild. It's just a wild scene. I wasn't even really trying to go there, but I guess those videos today just started building up in my spirit. I was like, man, these are the times where I wish those true leaders in our community still existed. Like, this is the time when my dad would be activated, right? I know you saying oh no, but this is the moment where you wanted a true activist to be on scene. Someone that has that background, that pedigree. This is what he does.
So do we have true community leaders nowadays?
In our community?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think most of our community leaders are too busy trying to put their names on baseball fields and parks now.
I don't know who you was coming for with that statement. So
I'm just saying, like, I think the people that we look for in our communities, those pastors, those leaders, those in our community that we say, hey, man, be that lookout for us. I think if you look around.
So people are too busy chasing fame to actually, like, go for a cause?
I think they're too busy chasing money and trying to pad their pockets and solidify their lifestyle and their family's generational wealth, which I understand the hustle, but at what cost? When you look in our communities today, I was riding around Lucerne the other day, and I was like, God dang, this place over here that we knew as Boggy Bottom for so long, like when you drove through it, you had to go through it quickly. Regardless if you thought something was going to happen or not, you're like, man, let me just drive through it. Man, it's a whole trail around there. They got the water stuff, like
so parts of stuff. So is it renamed for somebody?
I don't know if it's renamed, but what I do know is that I'm starting to see more and more, I'm starting to see the area become more and more gentrified. And I know they're not going to build that stuff for us. They had 20, 30 years to build it for us, so it wasn't for us.
But you started off saying that these community leaders are chasing money, so.
Listen, I believe that honestly, if you're not really a steward of the community and you don't truly believe in what you're doing, then you're there for the money. Because the positions don't pay anything.
Right. So what we need, again, is a true community leader. So what we need is that person to stand up that says, hey, it's time to activate the community. It's time for us to fight so that way we have a voice. And you're saying we don't have that.
I don't know. I just know I haven't heard that voice in our community. But that may be because our community is kind of controlled, has been under control for quite a long time. That people felt like, you know, it
what
is
do you
okay.
mean by control?
Well, if you think about Polk County, like, hell, they were still doing Klan rallies in here in the late 90s, like 99 and stuff like that. People remember going by Central Park and seeing them in the hoods and stuff. Like, this isn't a back in the day thing. This is a 98, 99 type thing where it was still okay for them to be in
the. So the Klan controlled us?
You said we're
still under control. So I'm trying to
get. We are still under control. You think those people disappeared? They just put their hoods in the closet.
And now they are what?
And like, now they are police officers. They are doctors. They are the lawyers.
I'm just trying
they
to get you to bring it. Okay.
They're in our schools. They're in our government systems. They're teaching the next generation, which is why people can stand on a corner and wave Trump flags at you now. Like before, they used to have the Confederate flags. They replaced all their Confederate flags with Trump flags. Think about it. Think about all the people in our community, right? In your communities too, whoever hears this, think about. They have now been able to tuck away the Confederate flag because they understand the meaning behind that. They always understood the meaning behind it. But now we have a new flag that we can just display proudly now. I can put my shirt on. I can put my hat on. I can put my bumper sticker. I can get my front license plate. I can get my don't tread on me license plate.
I mean, you are all in today.
Like, I'm just saying.
You just all for smoke. So what about the black people who have their shirts and their hats? What are they?
One or two things. Misled. Feel like that
one or two.
Misled because they believe that the current system has not benefited them.
Okay.
Or they complete sellouts.
So you either misled or you a sellout.
I believe like you're misled or you're a sellout. And what they're going to say is that, no, you're the one that's mistaken. You wanted promises from the Democratic Party or this and that. What I can say is that any laws that have helped benefit me as a black man, as black people, have all come from a Democratic leader, except for you want to go back to Lincoln when he freed the slaves. But we know that there was a flip between the Democratic Party back then, between the Dixiecrats and all that stuff. So that flip happened in the 60s. So it is what it is.
Oh, there's a business in Eagle Lake flying a flag.
Listen, man, don't tread on me. Okay, cool. That's what I'm saying. It is okay for them to display it. And for them, they don't feel like it's a display of a hatred or racism or stuff like that. They just want their America back. But who's taking their America? They still control it. But apparently, America's in such jeopardy of being taken that they're willing to put the most vile thing that we've ever going to probably see in our lifetime as a president in charge to just eviscerate common decency practices and things like that. They are not like us.
Common decency?
You, man, just had a State of the Union speech and threatened everybody. Man, just like he signed 200 executive orders. Pretended like he didn't understand what Project 2025 was, but have already implemented over 45% of the things on the damn program. Now, I don't know if some of y'all understood what 2025 was saying and asking for, but I'm pretty sure you didn't think it was going to cause for all the federal workers to get fired and things of that nature. That's going to happen April 1st. And just so y'all want to understand, out of all the federal workers, about 300,000 of them that are black, right? That's a lot of good people that was working. Been career federal workers that's going to lose their jobs. They finna eviscerate the education system, Department of Education. That's going to go. How they train, how when these teachers have to go to a 2-day and 3-day work week because there's no budget, we're going to be like, damn, this is what we voted for? Yep, that's what we voted for. When the price of goods and services shoots up so high that people can't even afford to leave their house to get the gas to go to work, you're like, man, I can't believe this is what we truly voted for. But it is. thinking on something. I had to put some off the screen.
I mean, you're preaching. I'll just let you go ahead and have it.
Man, it's about that time. I don't know if I need to keep preaching. I might get our podcast targeted and shut down.
Yeah, it's too late for that, sir. It is too late for that. You decided to switch, and you went there, and now you own one, so I just let you have it.
I can't switch back?
I don't know how you could switch back at this point.
I don't know.
It's took us to a very dark place. You have activated us. I don't know if we're supposed to be marching, singing. I mean, you didn't give us no Negro spirituals.
I don't think we finna march.
You don't think we finna march? Okay.
So we
don't have no community leaders to tell us what we supposed to do. You made that clear. We know the people that was black who voted for Trump. I'm just summarizing. They are either misled or
coons. Double down.
You said it.
I said.
So now, if nothing else, you have definitely helped us find our audience. Have figured that out tonight.
Our audience is going to be our audience, right? It's no point of pretending to be an audience for everybody when everybody ain't trying to hear what we got to say anyway, right? So we're going to do what they do. We're going to niche down, find our audience, our business audience, our audience that wants to activate, that wants to have their political moment, but also trying to figure out how to get to that next bag and build themselves and brand themselves. Everybody's thinking about entrepreneurship. Like, man, I know a lot of people, I look at social media, like, man, how we going to do this entrepreneur thing? How we going to do this entrepreneur thing? Listen, I think everybody needs a side hustle. You can still work your 9-to-5. I know a lot of people that enjoy their 9-to-5. I enjoy mine, right? I've gotten a lot of benefits out of it. It allows for me to provide this lifestyle. But I want to find additional income, because just in case this leaves, then at least there's some income coming in. And now if I've already built that platform, then if I now can focus 100% of my time and energy to it, it just means it can grow more. But the goal is to build that to the point where now my 9-to-5 get in the way. I want to make sure I phrase it the right way.
So, I mean, I guess I will say that's a good point, because you did speak about people losing their jobs. And if the time comes where you ever are at that point where you're about to be laid off, having a side hustle is definitely a plus, if nothing else, right? Because we all have households to take care of.
We do, and hopefully we're not placed in some dire situation where, I don't know, it's just things that just feels uneasy right now.
Yeah, so whatever is happening in our local community today activated you in your mind, and you decided to come here on the podcast and be Kevin X. So
I'm Kevin X today.
That's what I'm gonna call you.
All right, y'all. Today I'm Kevin X. We'll figure out what I am next week, but
I mean, today you were definitely activated. I understand. There's a lot of feelings going on in the community.
Right.
So, you know, complete understanding of that. I just feel like there are other people, minorities, that this is the time, if you say like, hey, man, I rock with y'all, I ride with y'all, this is the time we want to see y'all stand up. So put your money where your mouth is. Whenever there's a time and it's cool to talk about on social media, I don't want to say play in people's face, but I just can't help myself. Now stand on business. So if you're saying that's not really who you are and people calling you out unjustly, it's time to stand on business.
Ooh, all right, y'all.
But the comments did say that I'm here for Kevin X. I don't know. Kevin X was a bit aggressive for me.
So I'm trying to be Mr. Butler. It's been transitions in my life. You know, I grew up in gangs. I grew up in like that political brotherhood of tutelage of community leaders, Black Panther leaders, those things of that nature. Then I came to bubbly Winter Haven, and just like I never knew how I never felt the racism as much in one place before. And you would think Arkansas, which is like 75%.
I was wondering where we was going.
Okay. I'm just saying Arkansas, which is 75% still right now white, but in Little Rock, in that bubble, we was 100% black. So I didn't get to feel the racism. I had to deal with all the gang stuff, but I didn't get to feel the racism until I came here. And I didn't get to, and in my community, I seen so many strong black men who were standing up, who were trying to go against the grain, trying to stop drugs, trying to empower their community. And in this community here, I saw more and more black men talking like they was doing stuff, but not really moving. And the people that were actually trying to move, I saw them become sabotaged. So listen.
So I'll say,
Kevin X is in the building.
I guess I've pretty much kind of grown up in this community, but my fear was always that this political climate was going to incite more racist to come out of the shadows, to feel comfortable with being, you know, outwardly racist. And I say things all the time, like in my 9-to-5 that I endure, one as a woman, you know, a black woman. But like, I have never had to deal with, you know, like an employee telling me or saying the N-word and then saying it's okay for me to say it because I feel like I'm blacker than you when you're not black at all. But this is the climate that we're in and the different things that we have to deal with. And a lot of times, like, you always have to take it on the shoulder and always be okay. So I understand what you're saying. And then there's always that point of like, this is my breaking point. I feel like I've had enough. I'm tired of watching this, especially when you're talking about now little children being involved. And why are we taking the innocence from them when we already as adults know what we've had to endure? And it's a constant thing. So I get it. But I mean, I'll preface this to you, Kevin X. If you're saying that there are no community leaders that stand up, like how you saw them stand up in Arkansas and how you saw the black man be in Arkansas, you don't see that in Polk County, Florida, then be the change. Get the men that you know, the ones that you say maybe police officers that are in your network, the ones that you know feel the same way you feel, and do something different. There's a group of women, I know a few personally, that will stand behind the black man and say, we are here to support. As it goes, there's a few solid people, but it's not enough. A few women will step, but it's not enough. And if we're going to make a change, we got to start somewhere.
I hear that. And I will let my preconceived notions go to the wayside. I do have a track record and a history of standing up in this community, doing different things. In youth sports spaces, having a different energy, a different.
You ain't get no presidential award though.
All right, y'all. The Boss Fest podcast. Listen, man. If you like what you heard, you like what you saw. Listen, follow the Boss Fest podcast on Facebook, man, on Instagram.
Don't fight me when the live goes on.
On Facebook, on Instagram. Listen, follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to it. Hit the like button. Hit the notification bell. So that way we can get that content going.
We appreciate all the love and support, y'all. Definitely share the podcast. Join our community. We now have a Boss Fest community where we'll be dropping business knowledge and support. And it's all about love and supporting the minority businesses out there. So, you know, hit us up.
Hit us up. We're going to be doing something real big within that community as we educate and teach and help us get over these certain humps. We're going to bring our knowledge to the community. With that being said, we out. Peace.